Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, where we discuss all the news in the world of basketball. My name is Ben Brown, back in the studio today on a glorious Friday. Hope your week went well. Hope you have a great Easter weekend. And you know what? It's going to be a great, great weekend because it's finally here, guys. This is, of course, basketball. The NBA playoffs start tomorrow. The Cavs and Pacers are going to open it up tomorrow. It's going to be great. This is everything we've been really looking forward to. The whole season, the regular season is finally over. Now we don't have to worry about resting players. We don't have to worry about tanking. We don't have to worry about meaningless games because this is where everything comes center stage and every single game matters. So it's definitely a very, very exciting time. Of course, as I said, the first round does start tomorrow. We are going to be breaking down each series here. We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference first, talk about the Western Conference next. We're going to end the show with a little news, got some more college players declaring for the draft, a couple of guys staying in school, talking about the Orlando Magic firing their GM, Rob Hennigan, and what the Lakers might do if they lose that top three protected pick. The Lakers, of course, did finish with the third worst record in the NBA this season. So that means if one team's lottery ball jumps ahead of theirs, then they're falling out of the top three, which means they will lose their pick to the Philadelphia 76ers. So according to the Lakers, they have a plan. We'll talk about what that could be and more at the end of the show. But we're going to start off right away talking about the Eastern Conference, the first round here of the playoffs. We're going to break down each series, talk about how these teams fared in the regular season against each other, look at some potential matchups, and give you what I think is going to happen in those respective series. So, start off the East, we're going to go right in order. The number one seed is the Boston Celtics at 53-29, and the number eight seed is the Chicago Bulls at 41-41. In the regular season, the Celtics did tie with the Bulls at two games apiece, the Celtics winning the second and fourth matchup, and the Bulls winning the first and third matchup. When you look at this series, I think this has a shot to actually be a really, really good series. When you're looking at specific matchups, I think you have a guy like Rajon Rondo at the point guard position that can match up really well with Isaiah Thomas. Of course, I'll give Thomas the edge. He's had a phenomenal season. But Rajon Rondo is a bigger guard, really long arms, really athletic, good defender, can maybe give Isaiah Thomas some fits. You're looking at inside, you got to give the edge to the Celtics with Al Horford. But on the perimeter, I'll give the edge to Boston, or I'm sorry, to Chicago, to the Bulls, with Jimmy Butler and even Dwayne Wade. You know, Dwayne Wade, he's old. Those knees are definitely banged up. He's not what he used to be. But this is what he does. This is the playoffs. This is time for him to step up and really show why the Bulls brought him back home to his hometown. And given the fact that there's a couple days rest in between games all the time and everything, I think this could potentially be a really, really good series. Am I picking the Bulls to win it? No, absolutely not. I'm going to go with the Celtics here. I'm going to say the Celtics, honestly, I'll say in six games, though. I think the Bulls can maybe get a game in Boston and get a game at home. I think that the Celtics are going to win. They're just simply a better team. They have a lot more depth. You're looking at the guard position with Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart. I think that'll give the Bulls some fits. But the Bulls can really rely heavily on Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, in my eyes. And that can really carry them for a couple of games. So I'll give the Bulls a couple of games. I do think the Celtics will definitely get it done, though. We definitely saw a lot of great games in the regular season between these two teams. With the exception of the last game, which the Celtics won by 20 points, no game was decided by more than 7. So this could be a potentially very, very good series. I think the Bulls, and in particular the Heat, are the one team that the two teams the Celtics did not really want to see in the first round. If they would have matched up against Indiana, it would have given them a big edge. But the Bulls could potentially give them a little bit of a problem. Let's talk about those Indiana Pacers. They are, of course, the 7th seed. They're going to be taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers at 51-31, the Pacers 42-40. In the regular season, the Cavs did win this series 3-1. They did lose the first game by 10, but then they won every other game by almost double figures. The Cavs did win by 9 in the third matchup. But other than that, they won almost every other game by double figures. And this is what we're really going to find out. This is the series I'm definitely looking forward to most in the Eastern Conference, because the Cavaliers all season long have been that team that simply tell you, we do not care about the regular season. And now we're really going to find out what they have to do, because we saw the Cavs can't guard anybody. I don't think the Pacers will give them much of a problem. The one thing I'm really looking forward to in the series, and I think I'll probably monitor, is how Lance Stephenson fares against LeBron James again. Because you remember when Lance was on the Pacers, when LeBron was on the Heat, the blowing in the ear incident, the 7-game Eastern Conference Finals series. You know, I mean, it's all sort of coming back center stage. And I don't really give the Pacers much of a chance here. I'll give the Cavaliers in 5. I'll give the Pacers 1 game. I think they'll get 1 game at home in Indiana. But we'll see. I'm really interested to see how the Cavaliers play in particular, because the whole regular season, in particular the last couple of months, they've simply told us, we do not care about the regular season. And their defense has really showed it, and they're resting games. They basically conceded the number one seed. Now we're going to see what they definitely have to offer. Can they just simply flip a switch like they're basically telling us they can? I really don't think that is the case. I think it might take them a little bit of a time to get back up to speed, but I don't think they'll have much of a problem with the Pacers. You have to worry about Paul George, of course, but you're going to have LeBron James on him. The one thing I think the Pacers can maybe exploit in this Cavaliers team, because they, like I said, they cannot play defense, is probably Jeff Teague at the point guard position, averaged almost 8 assists a game. Kyrie Irving, not the greatest of passers. So I think that potentially Jeff Teague can make a big impact in this series if he's playing. And then you're looking at inside Miles Turner against possibly Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. So I'll give the Cavs the win in 5, though. I don't think they can just turn a switch and everything's back to normal, but I don't think they'll have much of a problem. LeBron James knows it's time. It's finally time to start playing. He's been resting the last couple of days. He's going to come out fresh and energized, and I'm sure the Cavaliers will get it done. So I'll take the number 2 seed Cavaliers in 5 to beat the Indiana Pacers. Moving on, we're moving on to the 3-6 matchup. That is the Toronto Raptors at 51-31 against the Milwaukee Bucks at 42-40. The Milwaukee Bucks, or really, should I say, the Milwaukee Giannis Antetokounmpos. Antetokounmpo literally led the Bucks in scoring, rebounding, assists, steals, and blocks, the top 5 major categories of stats. He led them in all of them. That's absolutely phenomenal. He's the first guy to be within the top 20 in the whole entire NBA of those top 5 stats. I mean, that's absolutely impressive. He's had a fantastic season. And even Milwaukee at 42-40, really leaning on him a lot of the time, but he's been a big contributing factor, and it's great to really see that they were able to get it done. So in the regular season, the Raptors did win this season series 3-1. They did drop the first game, but then they dropped the fourth game, and then they won the rest of them. So they did win this regular season series 3-1, And a lot of the games weren't really close. Raptors did blow them out a couple of times. So the Raptors, for me, you're going to have the return of Kyle Lowry. He's kind of been like catching back up to speed since he had wrist surgery about a month ago. He's finally going to be back and healthy and playing in this series, and that's absolutely big. The Raptors have made a huge acquisition with the impact of Serge Ibaka. He's really, really added a lot of size and defense to this team. And I think that's going to be definitely, it's not necessarily the difference, but potentially you're looking at a second round matchup with the Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, that's what could make a little bit of a difference. Of course, you have the dynamic backcourt of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry inside Jonas Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka, as I mentioned. I don't think this will be much of a series. Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to have to carry basically every single workload for Milwaukee if they're going to get things going. So I'll give the edge to the Raptors. This could honestly be a sweep. I'll maybe give Milwaukee one game because I think Giannis could create some magic and possibly have a triple-double or two. But I don't think this will be much of a series as far as competitiveness is concerned. I'll give the Raptors the series probably in a sweep, but at worst, five, honestly. Now let's get to the 4-5 matchup, the Washington Wizards at 49-33 and the Atlanta Hawks at 43-39. I feel like this could potentially be the best matchup in the Eastern Conference for sure in the first round. So the Hawks are the 5 seed at 43-39. The Wizards 49-33, the number 4 seed. The Wizards, great regular season, kind of dropped off there a little bit at the end. And then you have the Hawks, who really came in kind of red hot into this postseason. When you look at the regular season, however, the Wizards did win the season series 3-1. They lost the first game, but then they won the second, third, and fourth game. Kind of a mix, you know, a few competitive games, a few blowouts. You have the Wizards, great, great dynamic backcourt with John Wall, who had a fantastic season, 23 points and 10 assists. Then you have, of course, have Bradley Beal, who's a great shooter. Inside, you have Marcin Gortat. Look at the Atlanta Hawks. You have Dwight Howard and Paul Millsap inside. Dennis Schroeder had a fantastic season at that point guard position since they traded away Jeff Teague to basically give him the reins there, you know what I mean, to give him that point guard position. And he really, really succeeded in his first season as a starter. The Hawks playing really well. I feel like this is definitely going to be the best series in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, which makes sense. It's a 4-5 matchup. So I'm going to go with the Wizards since they do have the home court advantage. I think the Wizards could probably win this in six. It's going to go back and forth, though. The Hawks are a very, very good team and played really, really well down the stretch. So they're going to win a couple games at least. I'll give the Wizards in six. I wouldn't be surprised if this goes seven, given the fact that it's just simply a good matchup. The Hawks coming in really, really good. The Wizards coming in kind of on a down. You know, they should have probably got the 3 seed at least. They were really holding on to that. They were battling even for the 1 seed at one point a few weeks back, but they really struggled down the stretch. So I'll give the edge to them, though. I think they're just simply a better team, a little more consistent. But if the Hawks really step up inside, you're going to really slow it down, probably dish it out to Millsap or Howard. And they could have fits. You really have Gortat inside, and that's really about it with the Wizards. So how is he going to match up with both Dwight Howard and Paul Millsap? That'll be interesting to look at. We'll see what happens. We're going to take our first break, though. As I mentioned, I'll give the Wizards the edge in six. We'll take our first break. After the break, we're going to talk about the Western Conference first round. Look at all these matchups. We have some great, great storylines and things to talk about coming up. We'll take our break, talk about the Western Conference first round playoffs in the NBA here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We're We are back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Just finished up talking about the Eastern Conference first round in the NBA. We're now going to switch gears over to the Western Conference side. After that, we do have some new segments, a couple of college players staying in college, one of them declaring for the draft, and then the Lakers. What are they going to do if they lose that top three protected pick? And the Magic moving on from general manager Rob Hennigan. So all that coming up, but first we have to talk about the Western Conference. First round of the playoffs, of course, begins on Saturday as well. But we're going to go in order of the regular the seedings, you know, 1 through 8. What are we looking at here? Of course, the number one seed is the Golden State Warriors. They'll be taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. In the regular season, the Warriors did sweep the season series. A lot of big performances. They really lit them up. The lowest they scored in the four games was 113 points. That was the most recent matchup. They did win every single game, as I mentioned. A couple of them really bad. They won 135-90 one of those games and 127-104. I mean, honestly, guys, I don't really know exactly who can stop the Warriors, just even in the whole entire conference. I mean, without Kevin Durant, they were on a 13-game winning streak. Took some time for them to adjust to playing without him, but then after that, they were just simply rolling right along. He comes back into the lineup right away, puts up a double-double in his first game in limited action. The other night, he had 27 points in 29 minutes. I mean, it's almost like they didn't even miss a beat with him out of the lineup, and then even coming back, trying to adjust back into the lineup. The Warriors, the one thing that could potentially get to them in a series, maybe in the conference finals or even in the NBA finals if Cleveland does get there, is just their lack of depth. They don't have really any depth at all. Interior, I mean, there's really not much there. Even Kevin Durant's asked to kind of be their interior protector. JaVale McGee's just really inconsistent, so you can't really lean on him too much. I got to go with the Warriors to sweep the Trailblazers. They did it in the regular season. I would assume they would do it in the playoffs at most. I'm looking at the Trailblazers getting one game. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, fantastic backcourt. But apart from that, there's really not much there with Portland. Had a good season, bounce back year. They finished right at 500 at 41-41. The Warriors 67-15. There's just too much there with Steph, with Klay, with Kevin Durant, with Draymond Green. There's just too much there for the Warriors. They're too good. They're too experienced. This is finally the chance for them to really showcase and show off what they're about, because they brought in Kevin Durant to win the championship, to really make noise in the playoffs. And that's what it's all about, and that's where we're at right now. So you have to say that you really like the I like the Warriors to win it all. I mean, they're just on a collision course right now that I don't think anybody could stop, even Cleveland, because They've just been too inconsistent for me, especially recently. So I'll give the Warriors a sweep. Portland at most one game. Had a fantastic season. Good for them to get in the playoffs, but you don't really get rewarded when you have to go up against the Golden State Warriors. You know what I mean? So yeah, unfortunate for them. But let's talk a little bit about the 2-7 matchup. Now the 2-7 matchup, the Spurs at 61-21, the Grizzlies at 43-39. The regular season was split at 2-2, the home team winning both of the matchups here. And they were really close games. The Grizzlies won by 15 in the first matchup. But other than that, the only other big margin was 8. So we have 8, 7, and 6. And then, of course, 15. So it was a close matchup. The one bad thing here for Memphis is that they're going to be without Tony Allen. He's going to miss the whole entire first round with an injury, which is big. His defense and his physicality is definitely going to be huge in the series, whether he's going against Tony Parker or maybe even matching up against Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard possibly. I think Kawhi's a little too big for him, but that's going to be really tough since they're not going to have him. That's a really big loss for Memphis because of the intensity he brings on the defensive side of the floor. The home team, as I mentioned, did win every single matchup in the regular season. I'm not going to say it's going to go 7 because that's what that would entail. I'll give the Spurs the edge in 5, at the most 6, because of how Memphis plays that slow-down style of play with Conley sort of dishing it inside to Randolph and Gasol. We're, of course, going to have the Gasol brothers matching up against each other for a series. That'll be a nice little sort of storytelling and telling point there. But I'll give the Spurs the edge. They're just too good, too experienced. Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge inside. even Pau Gasol. Patty Mills, a really nice backup point guard. You have Ginobili and Parker with the experience and Danny Green to shoot on the perimeter. I don't see the Spurs losing to the Grizzlies. I'll give the Spurs the edge in five, at most six. You move over to the 3-6 matchup now, which honestly, this is going to be a really, really fun series to look at. You look at the regular season, you had the Rockets, the 3 seed at 55-27, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number 6 seed at 47-35. In the regular season, the Rockets did win the season series 3-1. They won the last three games. Close, you know, there was only an 8-point margin in the last game, which was the highest of the regular season. You had the Rockets win by 2, by 3, and then the Thunder win by 2. So you would imagine there'd be some really, really close games. And that's why I'm going to say that the Rockets win in 6, maybe even 7. I think this could be a really, really interesting series. The Rockets are, of course, the favorite. They are the better team. You have Russell Westbrook versus James Harden, the potential top two MVP candidates. That'll be fun to watch. And we'll really see. Of course, it's a regular season award. It's voted on the regular season. But we'll see head-to-head in the regular season. It was James Harden and the Rockets. We'll see in the playoffs how it goes on. Will Russell Westbrook average a triple-double in this first round of the playoffs? I'm going to say yes. I think he does it. I think he probably goes harder. He tries to really solidify himself as the MVP winner over Harden, and I think he tries to light it up. You know, I think he probably takes more shots. He shot 42% in the regular season. He averaged 31 points. I'll say he averages over 30. I'll probably say 10, 11 rebounds, but I'm going to say he probably has 12, 13 assists. Like, he's going to really, really try his hardest. He didn't really play much in the regular season. Billy Donovan did a really good job of managing his minutes. Didn't really play over 40 minutes unless it was an overtime game. I think he kind of gets unleashed a little bit here in the postseason, especially since he rested the last couple of games of the season. So, well, I mean, he didn't rest the last game, but he only played the first half. So he rested the second half. But so I think he'll definitely be unleashed a little bit here in the postseason as far as Billy Donovan is concerned. Great matchup. The two MVP finalists head-to-head, basically. I'll give the Rockets the edge because they're simply a better team. But if they can't knock down the shots, if they're not hitting the three ball, which is all they do, they could be in for a world to hurt because I think the Thunder are really going to bring it to them. The physicality inside with Cantor and Adams. And then you have Russell Westbrook, who is, of course, electric in a bottle. So I think it'll go 6, though. I'll give the Rockets the edge in 6, possibly 7. This could be a really, really fun and entertaining series. Probably the most entertaining of the first round here in the Western Conference. And then you move on to the last one. You have the 4-5 matchup. That is the LA Clippers at 51-31 and the Utah Jazz at 51-31. The Clippers do have a tiebreaker over the Jazz. As I mentioned on Wednesday, they needed to just beat the Kings in order to hold on to that number 4 spot and have first round advantage here on home court, which they of course did. So this will be a really interesting matchup as well. I think these two teams match up really, really good and really evenly. You have inside, you have Rudy Gobert, who's a great, great player, good rebounder, a great shot blocker as well at 7'2". Then you have Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. You do have the all-star in Gordon Hayward for the Jazz, of course, Chris Paul. I'll give the edge to the Clippers. This could be a fun, entertaining series in the regular season. When you're looking at the season series, the Clippers did win that one 3-1. A lot of low-scoring games. The Jazz did win the third matchup there. A lot of the games were kind of lopsided. You had the Clippers win by 16. You had the Clippers win by 13. Clippers win by 13 again. And then they lost by 6. So I'll give the edge to the Clippers. I think they're just a better team. But this is kind of like a big moment for the Clippers because I feel like this is going to be the last time we're going to really see them all together because of that foundation. It's been there for a few years now, but it just simply has not worked out with Chris Paul, with Blake Griffin, with DeAndre Jordan, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford coming off of the bench. It just hasn't really worked out. They haven't been able to go deep in the playoffs, and I think this is going to be the last sort of breaking point for the Clippers, because if they do win this series, then you know who they're looking at. They're going to be looking at the Warriors in the second round, barring catastrophe by the Blazers. So it's going to be another letdown for the Clips, and they started off really, really poor. They had some injuries. Chris Paul was out for a long time. Blake Griffin was out for a long time. Everyone's back and healthy, which is obviously great and something that you want to see, but it's a matter of can you get it done, and you're going to have to matchup against the Warriors next. That's tough. That's not going to happen in my eyes. Even getting by the Jazz is going to be tough. The Jazz have been a good team all year, had a great season. 51 wins for a team that didn't make the playoffs last year is phenomenal. I mentioned Gobert. He's a beast inside and a good shot blocker, a good rim protector. And then you have Gordon Hayward, who is an all-star. So it's going to be an interesting series, but I'll give the edge to the Clippers. I'll say the Clippers in six, potentially five. I don't think this goes seven games. I think the Clippers' experience and their foundation will overmatch the Jazz here in this first round of the NBA playoffs. And since they have the home court advantage as well, I think that's a big advantage for the Clippers. But we'll take our last break of the show. After the break, we'll talk about some news in basketball, college players, who's staying, who is going, the Lakers, what are they going to do if they lose their first round pick, and the Magic have moved on without GM Rob Hennigan. All that coming up next here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast. Last break of the show. Don't you guys go away.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. We're going to be talking about a few bit of news here in basketball. Got some college basketball, some NBA news, got some players declaring for the draft, and that is Justin Jackson of North Carolina. He is going to forego his senior season and enter the NBA draft, and he's going to sign with an agent. So for Jackson, he's an All-American. He won the national championship this season with North Carolina. There's really not much left for him to prove in college, except for simply get his degree. But he's going to forego his senior season. He's going to the NBA. He's probably going to be a late lottery pick, maybe a little after that, mid-first rounder. Got good range from the perimeter, a good shooter, nice size, could be a decent small forward, a good spot down shooter in the NBA. I think potentially for a team which maybe can do a lot of driving, a lot of penetration and kick out to him. He averaged 18 points a game this season. Also set a record, as I mentioned, with the three-pointers, 105 of them. That's a school single-season record. So really, really good. He shot 37% from three-point range as well, which is not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. So good for Justin Jackson. We'll see how he does in the NBA. A couple of guys are not going to be declaring for the draft. Number one of them is Miles Bridges, the freshman from Michigan State. He is going to go back to school. He says he has some unfinished business and wants to stay. He's 6'7". He averaged about 17 points and 8 rebounds this season. Would have been a lottery pick. So I'm really, really surprised that Bridges decided to stay at school. At Michigan State, they normally don't do the whole one-and-done thing. So I guess for that reason and for getting another year of college education, which is obviously good, I understand it. But for me, for Miles Bridges, I think you definitely have to declare for the draft. I mean, you have to strike while the iron is hot. How many times do we see guys in the NBA and the NFL when they would be high first rounders go back to school and it doesn't work out? Prime example, Ivan Rabb from last year from Cal. He would have left as a freshman. He would have been a lottery pick, probably a top 10 pick. Had a disappointing sophomore year. He's going out of the draft this season and it's going to be probably a late first rounder. Simply because if you go back to school, teams, scouts, general managers, coaches, everything can figure out what's wrong with you. They figure out your weaknesses because you're going back out another year. They don't really have much film on you, only playing 1 year. You go back there, they take a lot of time to look at you and figure out why they don't necessarily want you. I think you have to strike while the iron's hot, and it's good he's going back to school. It's good for him. Congratulations. Hope you get your education and everything, but I mean, as far as going to the NBA is concerned, I think you have to come out, and that's not going to be the case. Bridges is going to return for a sophomore season. Of course, Michigan State did win one game in the NCAA tournament as a 9 seed over number 8 Miami, but then they lost by 20 to Kansas, which the game was a lot closer than that. But still, I mean, the score line is what you're going to look at. So That's it. Miles Bridges staying in school, and as well as Alonzo Trier from Arizona. Now, this one does make sense on a different standpoint. Trier is going to be playing for his junior season upcoming. He averaged 17 points, 5 rebounds, about 3 assists, and shot just about 40% from the 3-point range. But remember, I think this is why it's a good reason he's coming back. He did miss half of his sophomore season at the beginning of the season because he tested positive for a PED at the end of his freshman year. So he didn't play the whole season last year. And obviously, if he would have come out this year, a lot of people would have been asking him about his whole PED scandal and everything that went on there. So I think coming back for his junior season, showing everybody that he can play clean and is clean, is probably a good idea. And then if he has a great junior season, which I would imagine, he averaged 17 points this season, can probably stretch that up to 19 or 20 next season, then I think that's a really, really good idea. And he can always come out next year, which is, you know, he's still going to have a good season. So as long as he can prove that he's healthy and everything, I think that's a good move. So I do understand this one. I think his potential to be a higher pick is there next year. Would it come out this year, you're looking at probably a second-round pick, maybe even a late first-rounder at best. So I think he's definitely making the right decision to come back for one more year. Let's talk about the Lakers and the Magic a little bit to end the show here. So the Lakers, of course, you do know that if they keep their top three pick, then they're obviously going to have it. If their ball comes out in the lottery within the top three, they're going to have it. If they don't, then they're losing it to the Sixers. If simply one team has their ball come up, then the Lakers aren't going to have their pick. The Lakers have a 56% chance of keeping their pick. So it's still the majority, but it's not much. You're looking at basically a coin flip as far as keeping their pick is concerned. So, I mean, you have 11 teams that could potentially upcome and take that ball out of their hands. So as far as what are they going to do, GM Rob Pelinka said that they do have a scenario planned for looking at what is going to happen if they do not keep their pick. As far as what they could do, I mean, they still did receive a first-round pick from the Rockets in exchange for a trade that involved Lou Williams, although that is going to be a late first-round pick, seeing as how the Rockets had the third-best record in the NBA this season. So Lakers do have... they do have a shot, you know what I mean? But the draft lottery is on May 16th. That could potentially be a very, very bad day for the Lakers because this is going to be one of the deepest drafts in a very long time, probably deepest since we saw LeBron and Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and all those guys come out in 2003. But pick number three looks a lot better than the pick in the late 20s. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. But they always can fall back on next year. I mean, even with a top three pick, I don't think they'd really be that much better this year. It's going to take some time to get these young guys to develop and everything. So in the 2018 draft, you're looking at a much better pick, which they'll obviously have and keep unless they trade it in the next days or in the next time or so, which I don't think is going to happen. They're definitely looking towards the future. They tried to tank ever since Magic Johnson and Pelinka came involved, which involved the trade of Lou Williams. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. We'll see what happens May 16th. It'll be interesting to see. The Magic, to end the show, have fired general manager Rob Hennigan yesterday after 5 seasons with the team without a playoff appearance. So Hennigan was 35. He was the NBA's youngest general manager, and the team only went 132-278, so a winning percentage of 322 while he was there, which is the second worst stretch in the NBA over the last 5 seasons and is the worst stretch in team history. I mean, not very, very good at all. So assistant general manager Scott Perry was also fired. You do have Frank Vogel, who is the coach. He's not sure if he's going to be there still, depending on a new GM, but who knows. So Matt Lloyd, who was the assistant general manager at one point, will take over as the interim GM and is going to be considered for the full-time job. So looking at the draft process, probably falls a lot on Matt Lloyd. He's on the team right now, and I imagine he would still be with the team. The team is slated to have the number 5 overall pick. They do have an 8.8% chance of winning the lottery, of course, on May 16th when that happens. We'll see. But even at worst, a top 5 pick, which is not bad. Some league sources do say that the Orlando Magic have interest in hiring former Magic's player, Grant Hill, who is currently an analyst for CBS, as the potential general manager. And we're seeing this really, really often. It's a trend in basketball and even sports in general, because John Lynch just became the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. But we're seeing a trend of people who literally have no front office experience becoming general managers and coaches. And it's worked out for some in the coaching realm. Mark Jackson was doing good with the Warriors. We see what Steve Kerr's doing. But it hasn't really worked out with some of these other guys going into front office positions. You have Vlade Divac with the Kings. To me, that has not really worked out. A lot of bad, bad situations and draft picks and decisions made so far. John Lynch is going into his first year with the Niners. We'll see how that does. So if Grant Hill potentially goes in there, it would make sense because he was a former player there. But I don't know if I would necessarily do that. I mean, Hennigan, in his draft record, he made three top five picks in Victor Oladipo, Aaron Gordon, and Mario Hezonja. And Victor Oladipo is no longer on the team. Aaron Gordon hasn't really panned out. Neither has Hezonja, although he's a lot younger. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But the Magic just simply aren't a good team. They need to really strike gold in the draft, because no one in free agency is going to go to them. They're not a top team. They have to really build from the core up. So involving a new GM makes a lot of sense, and I think it's a good decision. It's what they need to do. But Rob Hennigan is definitely not going to be a part of that team anymore after he was fired yesterday. Okay, guys, that's going to end the show for today and for the week. My name is Ben Brown. I would like to thank you for listening once again here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Paulina and I will be back in the studio on Monday with a really, really big action-packed show planned for you. We're going to be talking about the weekend observations, the series, updating you on the playoffs, who won game ones in all of them. And then we'll do a little bit of, since the regular season is over, we'll do a little bit of a award prediction. Who do we think is the MVP, the rookie of the year, the coach of the year, the most improved, all that stuff. Paulina and I will be talking about that on Monday. So until then, my name is Ben Brown. I'd like to thank you once again for listening. See you next time. We'll see you on Monday. Have a good day and have a good Easter weekend. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.